kind of was obvious we're going to look at believing to a degree. So if you believe in God and you believe that he is the creator of the universe, if you see what he says in his word concerning his people, how he blesses us, how he takes care of us, how he loves us, how he gives to us, then we should want to please him. Our response to his love and his giving as sons should be that we want to bless him back. We want to love him back. So in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So, the word faith is the word pistis, and the word believe below is pistuo. One's a noun, one's a verb. Okay? But it has to do with believing. It's two different forms of the same word. So a lot of times, to put it in the noun form in believe, we would say believing, the believing, for instance, right? It's a noun. Because the word faith can be vague. It's not really descriptive, and it's been used in many strange and unusual ways in religion. So, but whatever, you can keep it in if you want. Because what it means is to have confidence or trust, to rely on God, right? So, but without faith or without believing, it is impossible to please him referring to God. The working translation says, now without believing, and that's the way Reverend Cummins translates it, it is impossible to please God. For he who approaches God must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he becomes a rewarder of those who seek him. See, so our response to God's love and goodness should be to love him, and a big part of loving him is pleasing him, right? Don't you always, if you love somebody, you want to please them, right? You want to bless their lives in some way or another. So our response to God's love and goodness should be to love him and to please him. And to please the Heavenly Father, in a big part, is to believe him and his word. Let's go to chapter 3 of Hebrews. Believing, or to believe God, is one of those subjects in the Word that is inexhaustible, because there's a lot of facets to it. There's a lot of things to consider about it. But in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Now, the word unbelief is the word pistis or pistuo with a in front of it, making it a negative, right? A pistuo. So when you don't believe, it's a departure from God. And it's pretty simple, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're supposed to believe all the time. Let's go to verse 16. Wrong. Chapter 13, verse 16. That would have been terrible. Okay. Chapter 13, verse 16, it says, but, and this is, we'll start in verse 15. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." That's pretty cool, and it puts it in the terms of sacrifice. Now, in the Old Testament, they did sacrifices of all kinds, right? And it was basically mostly animals, but it also could be they would make like little cakes of flour and oil and, you know, whatever. But here it says that it is to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good. And that means to be beneficial. And to communicate. Forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Now, the Working Translation translates verse 16, do not forget about the benevolence. Do not forget about benevolence and fellowship. Because the word communicate is the word fellowship, koinonia. For with such sacrifices God is pleased. So how do we do good, or that which is benevolent? Well, basically by doing God's word, right? By believing him, because believing God is to do his will. It's pretty simple. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Chapter 5. And this is an interesting little section. It has to do with Moses reminding Israel of what happened 40 years previous when God was on the mountain and smoke and fire was coming out, and God said, set, you know, a perimeter around the mountain, and if anybody crossed over, they would die. And then Moses went up to the mountain and God spoke audibly to the people, which shook them up. And so then they said in verse 26, for who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? He said, this was an amazing thing, you know. They gather around the mountain, and then out of the smoke and the fire comes the voice of God, and he speaks to Israel, and it shook them up. Verse 27, and they say to Moses, go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we shall hear it and do it. So that was their... They said, okay, Moses, you go up, you talk to God, because we're not going up there. You know, we don't want to die. So if anybody's going to die, you'll die. You go up there, you find out what God has to say, you come back down, you tell us, and then we'll hear it, and we'll do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when ye spake unto me. And remember, this is all he's reflecting back 40 years ago to what happened. And he's reminding them. He said, and the Lord heard the voice of your words when ye spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me, or have reverence for me, and keep all my commandments always, that it may be well with them and with their children forever. And, you know, that's God's heart. And obviously the words that he speaks to us in the New Testament and the things that govern our relationship with God is much different from the Old Testament. But the heart of God is still for his people to have a heart to hear his word and do it. How simple. That's as simple as it gets. That God's people would have a heart to hear God's word and want to do it. And do it. Carry it out. Which means what? Believing. Right? When you hear God's word and you do it, you're believing. Can't get any simpler than that. God's desire is that his people have that kind of heart, that desire, that will in their innermost being to receive his word and to do it, to carry it out. Let's go to the Gospel of John. Chapter 8. Thanks for reminding me. I would have got there eventually. Or you could practice Revelation. Chapter 8 of John, verse 29. This is Jesus Christ speaking. And he said, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." So if we put together what it said in Hebrews, that, you know, it pleases God when people believe, and then Jesus Christ said, "I always do the things that please him," we can conclude that Jesus Christ always believed. He always took that word of God in the innermost part of his heart and did it. That's pretty cool. And we know that he was tempted in all ways as we, and yet without sin, meaning he always believed. So, our goal should be to walk like Jesus Christ, to do the best, to always please God, our Father. And when you think about that, it sounds impossible. And it is. That's a stupid thing to say, isn't it? On the face of it, it is. Because we're not Jesus Christ. We're a little bit less. We're still sons of God. We still have the ability to always believe God. But we started out with sin nature, whereas Jesus Christ did not. And, you know, we don't have perfectly renewed minds. But we can get better at it, can't we? And we can do more to believe God. And we can push ourselves to discipline our minds to think the word and do what he says as much as possible. That's what God desires of us, to do the best we can to believe. You know, let's go to 1 John. But God is not stupid. He didn't just throw us there and say, "Okay, you're going to screw up, and then I'm going to hit you over the head with a hammer." It's not what he does. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. So on the face of it, it's impossible for us to just be perfect, right? We're not perfect. How many of you here have always believed all the time? Wow, I'm shocked. You know, we all fail in our believing at times. You know, and sometimes people think, "Oh, that's so terrible." And or people are afraid to say, "Well, he wasn't believing." Well, it's not an accusation. It's just a fact of life. Sometimes we don't believe, you know. Gee whiz. But when we don't believe, we can turn right around and believe, right? Chapter 1, verse 3. And it's not an accusation. You know, if somebody says, "Well, he didn't believe." Well, you know, okay, he was human. It's not an accusation, it's just a fact. We're all, you know, going to not believe at times. Right. Well, that's the way it goes, right? God bless us. He took care of it all. He gave us Holy Spirit. So no matter what, we're going to heaven. No matter what, we're going to get perfect bodies. No matter what, we're going to someday be as he is. But in the meantime, we do the best we can, and God has given us an easy way back when we fail to believe. Verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard and declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." And this is the subject of what he's talking about here, fellowship. The word koinonia means a full sharing, and it means full sharing or fellowship involving association, participation, sharing, and a close relationship. That's what it means. Now, you know, this word can be translated a lot of different ways. We saw it was translated communicate in a previous verse. It can be translated distribute. It's translated another place. But it means to share, and it means to participate and have a close relationship. So here it's talking about our relationship with the Father, God, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And what a great thing to understand. You know, we've looked at that in previous weeks, but there's no darkness in God. There's no darkness in his word. There's no darkness in him. He's not standing there with a club waiting to beat you over the head every time you make a mistake. And a lot of people think that or act like that, you know, or every time they get sick, oh, I must have sinned, God hates me. You know, it's not the way it is. God's desire is for you to be healthy and strong. And if you get sick, he wants to help you. But if you fail in your believing, he still loves you. Right? He still loves you. That's the way it is. Can't get away from it. You could try, but you can't. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You know, if we walk in darkness, then we're not in fellowship. We're not, you know, we're not in fellowship with him, right? It's just, that's the way it is. We're not in harmony with God when we walk in darkness. Walking in darkness would be what? Not believing. Okay. We could go back to Ephesians, and it talks about walking in light and, you know, being circumspect and all the other stuff. And we're to walk in the light of God's word, right? But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So, you know, if I make a mistake, if I sin, if I'm walking in darkness, and I turn around and I walk in light, I put the word of God in my brain, I'm thankful to God for his love and forgiveness, then I'm back in the light. And the blood of his Son has cleansed me from all unrighteousness, from all sin. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We all make mistakes. We all fail to believe, right? So when we say, well, I'm perfect or I don't sin, well, that's not true. You know, anytime you doubt God, that's a departure from God, right? It's unbelief. But the thing to do is recognize what God's word says, and when you're off, get back. You know, it's not a big deal. Then it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from how much unrighteousness? All unrighteousness. So, you know, I mean, honestly, sometimes the little things, you know, really, from what we understand, sin is sin. There's no bad, dark, black sins and gray sins and ecru sins and pink sins. You know, there's not. There's just sin. You know, and sin is a departure from the word. It's not believing God. It's doubting God. It's just, you know, that's what it is. It's missing the mark, right? But he cleansed us from all unrighteousness, no matter how bad or how insignificant it may seem to us. It's all the same to God. And he cleanses us from all of it. That means there's not one little speck of unrighteousness, right? There's not one. There's not one little. What a great God, how he figured this all out for us. You know, and when you get into religion, you all right, Millie?
I can take a walk.
Okay, well, take your water. Just relax. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, right.
Where was I? God cleanses us from every bit of unrighteousness. There's not one little speck. You know, you ever scrub a dirty pot and then you rinse it out and there's still something there and you got to go back and scrub it again? Well, God doesn't have to do that. He just cleanses us of all unrighteousness. Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that he gave was a perfect sacrifice to cleanse us of all sin, past, present, and in the future. You know, whatever we did, whatever we do, whatever we will do, he has cleansed us. He's paid the price for it already. You know, it's like you get one of those cards, somebody gives you a gift card, and you know, you got credit ahead of time. Well, we have credit ahead of time. You know, if we make a mistake, Jesus Christ has already paid the price for that unrighteousness. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. His word is not in us. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We just have that, you know, we have that advocate. He's there for us. Jesus Christ is our, you know what an advocate is, right? An advocate is like a defense attorney. He's our representative before God. If we make a mistake, God's saying, Jesus Christ is saying, okay, God, I already paid the price for that. And God says, okay. I mean, in reality, I don't know that they really have that conversation, but that's what it amounts to, right? In human terms, that's what it amounts to. And he, Jesus Christ, is the propitiation or the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So even though we are not perfect, when we fail to believe, when we make mistakes, when we turn away, it is easy. It's easy and readily available to get back in fellowship and in harmony with God. Why? Because he already forgave us, you know, and we just recognize that and we move forward. And instead of walking in darkness, we get back to walking in light. We just put the word in our brain and start to do what God wants us to do, to believe. So, how loving is it for God to make this so accessible? Commandments. Now, when it says we keep his commandments, it's not referring to the Old Testament commandments. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not, you know, do this, do that. Thou shalt not have any other gods before you. Although those all apply to us, except for the one that talks about the Sabbath day. They all apply. I mean, you wouldn't want to have a God before God. You wouldn't want to make idols or worship idols. You wouldn't want to covet. You wouldn't want to commit adultery. You wouldn't want to murder. You know, all those things are obviously not godly. Let's go to Hebrews again. Chapter 8 talks about God's commandments. Now, this is a prophecy. It's a quote from the Old Testament of a prophecy concerning the future, which is to us the present. It says, "For this is the chapter 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord." After those days, after they, you know, go through all the crap that they go through. "I will put my laws in their heart and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them as a God, and they shall be to me a people." Let's go back to 1 John again. Chapter 3. And verse 23. So, you know, God promised that he would put his law in their hearts, but he also promised that he would put his spirit in us, right? In chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Okay, and then let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Little children, verse 33, chapter 13, verse 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. This is Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples and apostles. You shall seek me, as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. And then in verse 15, verse 9, it says, chapter 15, verse 9, it says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. We read that before in 1 John, right? That your joy may be full. He wants our joy to be full. And this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Okay, so we are to do our best to believe God and to do his word, to love him, his son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to love one another. This pleases God because this is what he commanded us to do. So if we believe it, that's what we do, right? Simple logic. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Boy, my Bible just turns right to it. Amazing. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers. And the word followers is the word imitators. Imitators of God as dear children. Well, one of the things that we know about God is what? That he loves and that he gives. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave us Holy Spirit. He gave us eternal life. He loves us. He is love, right? So we're to imitate God, which means one of the things we do if we believe this is that we love and we give. And then it goes on to say in verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You know, so we're to walk as Jesus Christ walked in love and give like he gave. And then in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says we, you know, he beseeches us to do what? To be living sacrifices, you know, to serve him. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Just back a couple of pages probably. So we're to be imitators of God. God was a God of love and giving. And it says we're to walk in love as Christ loved and gave himself for us a sacrifice and a sweet-smelling savor. Galatians 5, chapter 22. Chapter 5, verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Love is first. Why is love first? Because love energizes. You know, it energizes. And it's the fruit of the Spirit. You know, as we walk in the totality of the new birth, we're going to produce this fruit. And the first fruit is to love. How cool is that? And then let's go to chapter 2. It's verse 20. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ in you, right? And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's our identity with and in Christ. The Working Translation translates that one part. I live by believing concerning the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So, what a great thing. We live by believing concerning the Son of God. You know, what he accomplished, what he did for us, how God sent him to save us, and that we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. So, you know, we're to believe God, to please God, because he's been so good, so wonderful, so loving to us. And in return, he asks us to believe his word and to walk forward in the great, one of the great things in walking in his word is to love him and to just do our best to believe him. And when we make a mistake or we fail to believe him, which we all do, we're all going to fail. You know, someday we're all going to die. Well, are you not believing? Well, you can't believe when you're dead, number one. But, you know, well, it's not an accusation. It's just, you know, at some point we stop believing. That's the way it is. It's not the worst thing. It's just we all have that same problem, that same malady. But again, God took care of it because why? Because we have eternal life. You know, when you die, you're going to close your eyes and instantaneously the next second, you're going to open them and you're going to be there with Christ and the body, all of us. How cool is that? With a new body. What a great thing. It would be hell to go through eternity with the same body. I think about that because what a great thing God did. He didn't have to do that. He's smart, smarter than us. And we're going to close in Romans. Chapter 1 of Romans, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And the gospel of Christ is the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ. It tells us in verse 4. For it is the power of God, the dunamis of God, unto salvation, deliverance, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. That means anybody that believes, God gets deliverance. God is no respecter of persons, right? He does respect believing. When you believe, you get results. Now, you ever get in one of those things where you say, I'm believing God, and it doesn't happen? Well, maybe you really weren't believing, you know? And sometimes that's just the way it is. And then sometimes you don't even realize you're believing, and it happens. You know, I can't explain all that stuff. It wasn't right. You didn't, you know, you didn't get lined up or ask God, okay, what should I be doing? Or what should I believe? Or what should I pray for? You know, sometimes we just need to ask him. But, you know, so what? You keep moving. You keep trying to do your best for God. You love. And it says that love covers a multitude of sins, doesn't it? So if you're doing your best to love God and you make a mistake, you know, he'll get you back. He'll do what he needs to do to get you straight. Anyway, So, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from believing to believing, as it is written, the just shall live by believing. And that's a quote from the Old Testament, but and it's several places. It comes from Habakkuk or Habakkuk, however you want to say it. But it's, you know, it's a great thing. We are to live by believing. That's supposed to be the standard for our lives, to believe God, you know, to believe his word, to believe what he says. So, and that pleases him. And we should want to please him because he's done so much for us. He's been so loving to us. And he's made it so easy for us. And, you know, we're the ones that make it hard. So that's what I wanted to share. I want to share and believe him because sometimes I think people get confused about it. And, you know, it's not a sin, or it's not a sin. It's not the worst thing if you don't believe something. You just try to get back to believing. And it's not an accusation if you don't believe, you know. You know, when I was sick and in the hospital, I knew I was there. I didn't believe God. I didn't. I could tell you the specifics, but I've told some of you. But when I was there, I prayed and I knew I wasn't going to die. I looked like I did. Janet told me. Janet Johnson said, "You look like." I said, "Thanks, Janet."
How about you by my bedside?
Yeah. Comfort, there's no end. So anyway, but you just, you know, you do your best to believe, and you know. We all have our failings. We all fail to believe at times. Well, okay, well, you just do your best to turn it around. You know, you do your best to go to God and say, okay, God, I need help. Remember the guy when Jesus Christ healed his son and he said, yeah, he said, help thou mine unbelief. Well, we all need to pray that prayer sometimes. Help me with my unbelief, God. Show me where I'm not believing. Show me what I need to do to get back on track. Because that's, you know, because that's part of life, you know, and it's, you know, it's not that anybody's evil or anybody's bad or anybody's, you know, an infidel. It's just we all have our failings. So, but God made it easy to get back on track. He's there to pick us up every time we fall. You know, and we're going to fall. You know, when a little baby's learning to walk and they fall, you don't beat them. You pick them up, right? You love them. And if they skin their knee, you comfort them and you say, it's okay. And then they get back up and they learn to walk. And that's what God does for us. He's that loving a God. So, Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how you show us how we can please you and believe you and listen to you. And that it's really simple that we just take your word, put it in our brain and do it, and we love with all we have, with that spirit within us, that we can love with your love in our hearts. We thank you, God, for a great afternoon, a great week ahead, that you just bless us, that you bless everybody in this room, and that they can glorify you, and that they can be great witnesses for you and your son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you in his name and pray. Amen.